Today's scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 12 to 19. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him, therefore, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." Amen.
My name's Young, and thank you for inviting me again, even though I'm the only option, right? I don't forget these things. Just kidding. So, I am in a church called Ethnos. It's a multi-ethnic church. I used to be in Korean church, but these days God called me somewhere else. We are preparing to plant a church in Phoenix, a very diverse multi-ethnic church. Well, it's my decision, my partner's decision, but I don't know if it's God's decision. We are praying that God will allow us to go there and plant the church. I love this worship. It's more of my kind. I think I told you guys I cry a lot these days. Huh? Last time I was here, no? I cry for no reason. So until like maybe 35, 40, I never cry, no matter what sadness there is around me. But these days, I cry for everything. And I had to stop myself from crying today. Oh, the service was so touching. Many times, can't cry. I have to preach, can't cry. Yeah, it was a really nice service. Yeah. So yesterday, the wedding was beautiful. That reception hall, wow, I've never seen a more beautiful reception hall. I've been to a lot of weddings. It was a lot of attention and preparation was done. It was a great, great time eating. And the worship service, it was quite nice. It was fitting. It was a little awkward at times. A little awkward. And a little extra conservative, right? Yeah. No carpet, you know, white carpet, walking flowers, white gloves, none of that. It's quite gospel-oriented. At the end, I sort of understood, this is Pastor Steve. Extra conservative, yeah. Little awkward, yeah. Gospel-centered, yeah. That's Pastor Steve. Then that clicked on me. This is all planned, what he did yesterday. Right? Yeah. I knew it. Yeah, it dawned on me, wow, this is a nice service. And then I just had a wonderful time yesterday. So, bless you. I hope to have a wonderful and joyous marriage living together. That's the introduction. Let's go to the text now. Our text is about the light, Jesus as light. One of the experiences that I had was in Grand Canyon, mid-90s. We visited Grand Canyon. We used a tent, camping everywhere we went. And as we were coming closer to Grand Canyon, it was getting darker. So we had to find a place to tent. And there was a place really high up in hills. We had to drive over some big gravels to get up there. By the time we got up there, it became pitch dark. So we were a little bit scared, except the little flashlight, we couldn't see much. pulled over, set up the tent quickly, we slept, and we woke up in the morning. I wake up really early, like 5 o'clock, sun was coming up, it was beautiful, so I walked to that road that we drove and kept on walking. About 200 yards later, I see this beautiful sky, and the landscape was beautiful, and I walked a little bit more, and then it was, whoo! So if we drove for 200 yards more, we would have. So I told that to my partner who went with me. He says, let's not talk about that. See, when there's no light, you can't really see. Only when there's light, you can see. When there's light, we can follow. When there's no light, we can't really follow. So our passage is really about Jesus being the light. The Bible uses many of these props to describe who Jesus is. Jesus is the bread, the wine, salt, tree, roots, seeds, birds. And in previous chapter, Jesus was the living water. Today, Jesus is the light of life. So in verse 12, if you can have your apps or Bibles open to John chapter 8, we'll read one verse at a time and we will follow along. So verse 12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, light is to be followed. That is the word used in ancient times when a soldier follows the master. So for us, we follow Jesus as a soldier follows Jesus, whether we like it or not. Talking about the heart condition. And then that word is also used as slave following the master. A slave has to follow the master. It's forced upon them. It's a command. And many times the Bible commands us. So as a slave, we follow Jesus as master. At other times, it uses the word following in the sense that we follow a wise counsel. Pastor Steve is a wise man, young man. When he gives you counsel, we follow. Just like that, Jesus gives us counsel, and we ought to follow Jesus. But at times, he tells us to follow the law. What is the law? It's Jesus' word. So Jesus tells us what to do, and we follow. And finally, Jesus is our teacher. So as a teacher, we want to follow his line of argument. Yeah, teacher is not about telling you what to do. It's about teaching you who Jesus is, who God is. So following his logic is what we do when we follow Jesus. Now, when Jesus says, I am the light, really, the light is really God. So when Jesus says, I'm the light, people listening, the Pharisees, the teachers, they didn't like that. So in verse 13, the Pharisees challenged him. Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Now, Jesus as the light can be plainly seen. Jesus doesn't really need a testimony. In the court of law, you need a testimony of two, which comes out later. But Jesus doesn't really need a testimony because he's the light. And the light that sort of represents God is a huge column. On top, there is a huge torch. You light it up during Passover, and people can see the light miles away. That's light. So when Jesus came to earth as light, you really didn't need a witness. You can clearly see. The ones that could not see are the blind ones. If you're blind, you can't see. So Jesus, this is the way he answers. Go to 17, skip a couple of verses, we'll come back to it. Go to 17, this is how Jesus answers. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Now, Jesus is the testimony for himself. Well, Jesus in the form of man, the Son of God, Jesus is the Son of God. So Son of God testifies for Jesus, and also the Father testifies for Jesus. Like I said, Jesus didn't really need to testify because he was the light, was clearly seen. How did the Father testify concerning Jesus? Right from the beginning, when Jesus came out for ministry, he was baptized by John the Baptist. And God, in thundering voice, I don't know what thundering voice is. The Bible says thundering voice said, "This is my beloved Son. Follow him, obey him." So there was God testifying directly with his own voice. And then there's this story. I'm sure you've heard it. Paralyzed man, four friends bring the paralyzed man to Jesus. But there's so much people, so many people. Sorry for my English. It's not my first language. Anyway, there's so many people that they couldn't get in. So they go to the roof and they break, you know, they make a hole in the roof and lower down the paralyzed man. And Jesus could have easily said, "Wait, you know, stand up and go, take your mat and go." But he said, "Your sins are forgiven." Why is that? Because only God forgives. So the people around, "Whoa, he's blasphemy." And Jesus says, "So that you will know that I am the Son of God, that who can forgive sins, take your mat and go." And he did. So God testifies every time Jesus heals, every time he moves nature, quiet wind or calm down sea. Every time he performs miracle, is God stamping, "You are my son." So there's plenty of evidence, unless you are blind, that you can see that Jesus is the light. Going on, in verse 14, if Jesus is the light and he's to be followed, where does the light lead us? Now, verse 14 says, Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going." I love traveling. I love nature. I love the mountains and I love the ocean. I think there's only two things in this world, right? Ocean and mountain. There's no place to go. I don't really like cities, walking around, shopping. It's not my thing. So I've been to a lot of places in the East Coast. All the way from Maine, Bangor, and Acadia National Park, from Virginia Beach to Myrtle Beach, all the way in South Florida. We were in Tampa, Fort Myers, and Keys. We've been to all these nice places. So if somebody wants to go to these places, I can guide them. "Oh, go here, here, here. Oh, the restaurant over there is beautiful. Scenery over there is beautiful. Do some of these extra, you know, curricular activities." I know these things. And I've been to the West too. I did a two weeks. We drove through the West Coast. One of our members from Singapore, she loves the nature also. One day she said, "Oh, I'm so happy. I'm going to the West. I'm going to Zion Park." "Yeah, I've been there." And I said, go here and here. Go do the Angel's Landing. Beautiful hike. And then one day she comes, "Oh, I'm so happy. I'm going to Yosemite." "Oh, I've been there. Go up to the mountains, beautiful scenery. There's snow on top and you can see the waterfalls." One day she said, I'm going to Acadia. I said, "I've been there. It's beautiful. Do the beehive hiking. It's the most beautiful hike in the world." Yeah, if you've been there, you can guide the person. Jesus has been there, the only one who's been there. So he can guide us to heaven. So Jesus, the light, where does he lead us? Where do we follow him? We follow him to where the Father is. So he's a guide to the Father. Now, one more thing I want to mention here is if you want to follow Jesus, you need to do these two things. In Matthew 16, let me just read it for you. Simple verse. It says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." How do you follow? You deny and you take up the cross. You need to do these two things. How do you deny yourself? Well, as a soldier, you listen to the command. As a slave, yes, also you follow the master. As a student, you listen carefully and learn. As a sinner, you follow the law. So deny yourself is living according to Jesus' standard and His heart, not mine. Deny yourself. Secondly, take up the cross, sacrifice, serve, suffer. Not so much for myself, for others. These two are requirements to follow Jesus. Certainly, you and I cannot do these things, but there is Jesus and His Spirit encouraging us, giving us strength to do these things. Now, in verse 15, the light does one more thing. The light leads us to the Father, true, but before it leads us to the Father, it reveals sin. So let's read 15 and 16. It says, "You judge by human standards, I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right. Because I am not alone, I stand with the Father who sent me." Now Jesus says, "I pass judgment on no one." Once the sin is revealed, the light reveals the sin, and He says, "I pass judgment on no one." So the story right before our passage is a story where the woman is caught in adultery, and people, Jews, holding a stone. The Old Testament said, if you're caught by adultery, you will die by stones. So they're ready to throw the stones at the woman. And you know the story. Jesus says, one without sin cast the first stone, and no one could. Even those self-righteous Jews, they could not cast the stone. So when Jesus went to the woman, "Is anybody condemning you?" And she says, "No." And then Jesus says, "Neither am I. Neither do I condemn you." You see, no one really has the right to condemn each other, right? We are on the same boat. We're all sinners. Sinners cannot condemn other sinners. It makes no sense. It's like in this world, we are all criminals in jail. Criminals in jail cannot condemn each other, judge each other. They're all judged people. So are we. We have no right to condemn others. But who has the right to condemn? Jesus. He's righteous. He's the Son of God. He's the judge. So He has the right to condemn. But He does not. He says, "I do not condemn you." Sin is lifted up, and He says, "I do not condemn." So why is the sin lifted up? How do you think that woman felt when Jesus says, "Neither do I. I will not condemn you"? How do you think she felt? Pretty good. It's called forgiveness. When our children were young, especially our daughter, she would misbehave and would say, "Time out. Put your hands up for 1 minute." You know, she puts her hand 1 minute, and 30 seconds later, she's crying, shedding tears. No sound. She's very smart. She won't do it over. She won't overdo it. She's crying. And then when the 1 minute is done, she'll run to mommy and she starts to sob. And mommy does what? "Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay." What does the toddler learn? That there's forgiveness. So if there's a parent who wants to punish a child to change their behavior, I can't even change my behavior. How can you possibly change anyone else's behavior? It's not to change the behavior. It's to teach the child forgiveness, hoping that God one day will touch her heart and she will follow Jesus. That's the purpose. Now, these are kind of insights, truths that I've learned later on. I didn't know these truths when I was raising my children. So I made many mistakes. But that's how God is. He will reveal the truth, our sins, in order to forgive us. So there are many things that happen because of sin. There are consequences. We call it punishment, but it's a terrible word. We just use it casually, but it's just not a correct word. He disciples us, at times disciplines us. Why? Why? To show forgiveness. Because after you receive forgiveness, you can follow Jesus with your heart, not just like a slave or a soldier, because you are thankful. So the light reveals sin in order to forgive us. Now finally, verse 19, it says that light reveals the Father. Then they asked him, "Where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father." Jesus replied, "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." So if you knew Jesus, then we know who the Father is. So Jesus, the light, shows us who the Father is. Now the Father, it was the Father's work of salvation. Jesus was actually the one who died on the cross, but it was Father's work, sending the Son to die. What do we know about this, about the Father? His love, his compassion. In the Bible, he says that he also comforts in the times of sorrow. And he gives us strength in the times of weakness, power in overcoming sin. He is our friend in times of loneliness. He guides us in our troubled paths. So the light teaches us the heart of the Father. Now in conclusion, when Jesus the light draws us to himself and we follow the light, we also receive light. So Jesus says, "You are the salt and the light." We are the light. I read a pastor giving an illustration where the sun is Jesus, the light shines on the moon and shines on earth through the moon. I was thinking about that illustration. I thought that was a little bit wrong. Why? Because the moon itself does not have light. But when Jesus shines the light on us, Jesus comes in us. So the light is inside of us. And then the light shines on others. So the purpose of light really for us is also that we shed light upon other people. It's very important, I think. Very important to realize. Why? Because many times, either it's ethnic church, white church, Spanish church, Korean church, all these sort of the homogeneous churches, two things they do really well. Communion with God, you know, communion, praying and reading the scripture, they do that really well. Second, community, among fellowship, among the believers, they do this really well. They come to church during the week, they come to Wednesday meetings, and they eat together. They do this really well. But the third thing they lack, which is really commission, shedding light upon other people. Now, these are the three things that a follower of Jesus must do. If one is lacking, the other two is weak. Imagine if we did not have communion with God. I've just come to church and just live life. You know that person is not going to grow. Let's say he has a deep communion with God. And he has fellowship. Comes to church every Sunday. But concerning commission, or commission, going out, shedding light, he's weak at that. And that person will not grow either. See, our lives are really a circle, a cycle. Starts with union with God. And then among fellowship, we gain strength. And we must shine the light upon the world. Then we come back to Jesus, and our communion becomes stronger. So it's like a cycle that goes upwards towards the Father. But if one is weak, you're stuck in one area, and you cannot make that circle. So, what you and I, most likely, even myself, that's why I want to go into this multi-ethnic church so I can just evangelize to the people around me. Well, you and I are weak is that commission part, shedding the light upon the world. I don't think it's not that hard for you guys, right? You work. You have people who work around you. You drink coffee each morning, right? You go to Starbucks or Dunkin' Donut. You go and you drink coffee each morning. You see that same person every day. Next time, say hi. Hey, what a terrible weather. Say something. Oh, it's just a nice weather. I'm so happy today. Say something, they'll respond. Start building a relationship. Know their names. In your working place, you have plenty of people. Look out for someone you can say hi or someone you can invite for coffee. There's always people around. God will send it to you. So we call that the missional life. Missional life. It's a lifestyle. It's not something portion of our life we do this. It's a lifestyle. You see, people who diet, we always say, you cannot diet. It's wrong. You cannot just do diet a few months. No, it's a lifestyle. It's a changing lifestyle. You all know that's true. It's the same with our commission. It's a calling. It's a lifestyle. So from the morning we wake up to the evening when we come back home and sleep, it's our calling, sort of encompasses all that we do. So we live a missional life. Now imagine, this is not a small group. Devout people, let's say you brought two people each year. That's not a lot. No, you live a missional life, you bring more than two people. In 1 year later, how many would you have here? Numbers are not the issue. Evangelism is the issue. How many do you baptize? Yes, this may be hard to listen to, but it's the truth. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you got to do these three things. Do you know when the disciples started to go out? Not after they understood who Jesus was and received the power of the Holy Spirit. They had no idea who Jesus was. Well, a little bit. And Jesus sent out 12 plus others, 72 in total, go out into the city. Tell them what you saw. And when they did, they saw great miracles. People actually heard them, listened to them. So the power of the gospel, the light, is understood only when you go out. Yeah. If you feel like, oh, I feel like my faith is weaker than before. It's not weaker, but it's not going anywhere. Once you go out there, start seeing the world in a different eye, then you start to see how powerful the gospel is that God has given to you. Isn't that exciting? Bring two people in the next 1 month, let's say. Have a go. If it doesn't work, 2 months, have a go. And by the time next year comes around, it doubles. And 2 years later, that doubles. You see? So when Jesus says that I am the light, I give life, we are also light. And we, our responsibility is also to give life to others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this passage. Even though it's hard to listen to, it's so hopeful. It's not as hard as we thought, just talking to people, building relationships, trusting in the power of the gospel, that they will listen and they will follow you to church. We know that that is done by the power of the Spirit, not really me. So give us this encouragement, strength to always be in the lookout for people we can build relationships with, say hi to, that we may invite them to your presence. Thank you in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.